The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
You're listening to the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Mashed into by Mekda. Poke check free and collected by Abbott. Guides it forward, then Abbott gets smoked away from the puck. Here comes Mekda. Leaves it Phillips. Right wing circle. Phillips fires. Scores! Poetry in motion. Philly! Matthew Phillips wins it in overtime. 3-2. Takes a 2-1 series lead.
Yeah, I thought Askew was phenomenal. I thought we stuck with it. I thought we stuck with the game plan. We got 1-6-5. Chances in overtime there. Gave ourselves a chance to win.
A brutal loss on the face of it for the San Jose Barracuda on a night where they were far from their best. They still had a chance to win this game in overtime. Good morning, everyone. How are we doing on a Wednesday morning? In about 12 hours, we're going to be watching more Barracuda hockey as we're recording this at about 5:30 in the morning. But for all of you, you are looking at the San Jose Barracuda on the ropes. And this is when you find out what the makeup of a team is and how far they think they can go. Obviously, the Barracuda right now dealing with a number of issues that are keeping them from, you know, maybe being the best team they could be right now. Last night, you have an additional injury with Colin White going down. You already don't have your league MVP in Andrew Podorowski. And in the overtime period, Yaroslav Askarov has to come out of the game due to cramping issues, puts Gabe Carrier in a very difficult situation. I felt really bad for him because being ice cold, sitting there for 60 plus minutes of hockey, you know, about 3 hours, and then you suddenly come into the most critical moment of the game when you're not warm, when you're not ready to go. That's a brutal, brutal way to have to come in for Gabe there. So, you know, I felt really bad for him. I don't, you know, blame this loss on him in any way, shape, or form. But for the San Jose Barracuda, they are now on the ropes. And, you know, some of the things that I look at in these last couple of games for San Jose is that Colorado has had very good starts to periods, and they've been able to generate momentum. And you saw that at the beginning of the game last night, that Colorado was able just to jump out to the front of everything and really take advantage of the Barracuda being a little bit slow out of the gate. And there were a couple other moments in this game where the Barracuda were in that situation where it just looked like they were a little bit slow to start off periods. Colorado was able to take advantage and really kind of push around the momentum. And even then, you know, the Barracuda only gave up 2 goals on the road in regulation. They don't have as much offense as they normally would, but, you know, this is a situation where the San Jose Barracuda are, you know, once again, just like they were in game number one, kind of their own worst enemy. They were giving the puck away. They had some issues in terms of just their overall cohesiveness. The defense is still very, very tight, but you saw them, you know, making mistakes and giving the puck away and, you know, taking care of the puck, A, in any game, or B, especially in the postseason. That's the way that you're going to find, you know, victory in very, very difficult situations. So this was one for San Jose that you look at and you think to yourself, okay, they don't have all their horses. That's going to make things even more difficult than you would otherwise expect. Then you have a situation where your, you know, franchise goalkeeper of the future for the Sharks goes down due to cramping, and you put your other backup goalie in a very, very difficult situation. That's remarkably unfortunate of a circumstance. You can control the way you take care of the puck. You can control the way that you start out periods. You can control the way that you react to given situations throughout the course of the game. But, you know, the Barracuda and the way that they responded throughout this game on various penalty kill situations, I loved that. I love the heart they showed. They never let this game get away from them, even when they were down 2-0. They fought their way back into it. And again, I keep on coming to the back to the fact that they were not at their best when they were down 2-0, yet they still fought their way back into this game. And that's what you have to do in the playoffs. You have to give yourself a chance. The Barracuda gave themselves a chance, but when you look at everything that was stacked against them, you combine that with your goalkeeper going down to cramps in overtime, you've got to quickly sub in Gabe, that changes things. The Colin White injury, we'll have to see what happens. You know, there's a game tonight, 5:35 pregame, 6:05 go time once again. So we will have to see what he's able to do to get ready to get back for this game. Obviously, we'll have to see. We'll wait and find out if there's any information. You know, pay attention to Sharks and Barracuda social and digital platforms to see if that news does come out. Obviously, I'll be talking to Nick Nolenberger throughout the game, and we'll see if we can get any other information that there might be heading towards this. But, you know, this is the game where you've got to dig deep for San Jose. This is where somebody's got to step up because your season is on the brink. And this is where you're going to learn a lot about certain players who encompass the future of San Jose. And I'm looking at guys like Colin Graf. I'm looking at guys like Philip Bystead. I'm looking at guys like Quinton Musty if he is in the lineup. I expect Yaroslav Askarov to be able to start once again in this game. I think this is, yes, even though it is a back-to-back, you know, this is a guy who is young. He has the ability, he has the energy, and hopefully they're going to rehydrate it and give him the electrolytes and whatever he needs, you know, to deal with the altitude, which I'm sure was a factor in him having cramping issues late in the game. But, you know, this is a great test for these guys, and this is ultimately what we wanted from the Barracuda this year. We wanted them to get in these big situations to have these tests. And there is no bigger test than knowing that in all three games of this series, you've had the opportunity to win, yet you find yourselves down 2-1, your season on the brink, facing elimination, but yet you also know that you've been in all three games against arguably the best team in the West in the AHL this year, a team that's been very, very good at home, a team that you had trouble against during the regular season, but got some wins, 3-5 overall. But this is an opportunity for San Jose to really give their guys this great experience. And all you have to do is win tonight, right? And then you get a little bit more rest. And then you've got till Sunday. If you can push it till Sunday, if you can give yourselves those opportunities, if you can give yourself the chance to extend it to Sunday, then maybe Podorowski's back. I don't know. You know, maybe Colin White, if he misses tonight's game, maybe he's back. Maybe a Thomas Bortolo has the opportunity to come back. These are all things that you're hoping for with San Jose. These are all things that are going to be on the line heading into this game. And it's great drama, but it's a big, big test. And that's why I do look at some of these young players, a Luca Cagnoni, a Colin Graf, a Yaroslav Askarov, guys that, you know, we think are going to be part of the future for San Jose. I'm looking to see what they can bring to the table. I'm looking to see what sort of a response they have. And, you know, Luca Cagnoni, you know, he's been great all year long. You need more of his greatness. Colin Graf, obviously we got to see him for almost 40 games with San Jose Sharks this year, but, you know, he's been great as a member of the Barracuda. I want to see more of his greatness out there on the ice. He's a guy who knew how to get it done in college and won a national championship. You know, this kid knows how to win games. I expect to see that mentality play a big role in tonight's game, and I do not expect the Barracuda to have a slow start once again. I expect them to come out firing on all cylinders. Get rid of the slow starts. Don't fall behind early. Don't get into the situation where you're chasing a game at altitude. Those are the things that present themselves as very obvious. Don't give the puck away. You've got to take care of the puck. You've got to make sure you are not your own worst enemy. And, you know, the defense, the structure that they have showed, I've thought that's been absolutely phenomenal for San Jose all throughout this postseason. And it got better throughout the year. You know, they're a very good defensive team, and they've got a great netminder in Yaroslav Askarov. And so let's see what they can do to give themselves a chance heading into this potentially final game of the year. I want to fight. I want great leadership from Jimmy Schultz. I want a great performance where the team comes out hot out of the gate. I want physicality. I want all these things from the Barracuda because I don't want this to end. I tell everybody I don't like it when my team season comes to an end and it's not at the championship. You know, I want to see these guys continuing to go. I don't want to rest from now and not see any more out of Luca Cagnoni till the fall. I don't want to not see any more out of Colin Graf till the fall. I want to see all these guys have their opportunities to shine and show what they can do. This is what we've waited for all year long. This is what these guys have played for all year long. The fact that you're facing elimination in the postseason is not a bad thing. That's a good thing. It's an opportunity to prove yourself to the franchise, to prove yourself, you know, to your teammates, to show all these players of what they're capable of to be part of a future for San Jose. And, you know, Jimmy Schultz, guy is an incredible leader. You know, he knows how to do it as an individual. He knows how to do it as a player. He knows how to lead by example. He knows how to speak up in the dressing room. you know, I know that he doesn't have his good friend Andrew Podorowski with him right now, but I would expect if there's a moment for Jimmy Schultz to pick his spots, because he knows how to do so, he knows when to speak up, it's going to be tonight. It's going to be in this situation where he's got his team on the brink, and he knows that if he doesn't say anything, he's not going to be able to say much more because the season comes to an end if they don't find a way to win tonight. So for San Jose, it's a big, big opportunity. It's a big, big moment. To talk about all this and more, we are now joined by Drew Remenda, who is on the call once again tonight with Nick Nolenberger. Drew, what's going on, man? How are you doing? All right, we're now joined on the Sharks Audio Network by Drew Remenda after the Barracuda having a tough overtime loss against Colorado tonight. And Drew, listening to you and Nick, you had the same reaction that I did after this game of the Barracuda not playing their best game in the slightest, but still being into it all the way until the very end, which ended up being an overtime.
Yeah, there's no question that the Barracuda can not only hang with the Pacific Division winning Colorado Eagles, they can beat them and they can win the game. And a weird situation in overtime. This is a game, though, where they didn't play their best game. In fact, there were very few moments in the game where the Cuda were the better team. The three penalties that they had to kill in the second period really sparked them, though. And when you look at the way that their situation is now, when you've got top scorers out and Colin White goes out today, and you're going, okay, how can you win? Well, they can win by embracing this defensive structure that they have embraced since the start of the playoffs, mm-hmm. something that John McCarthy's been trying to get them to do all season long, and they've embraced it, and they do play hard off the puck. Tonight, again, not a great game for them as far as being able to slow down the Eagles and retaliate with their hard-checking, with the Eagles hard-checking, with their own hard-checking. But they still were able to keep themselves in the game. Sometimes you're not going to have your A game. So what's your B game bring? Well, your B game brought on overtime, a don't-quit attitude, and a weird situation where a backup goalie had to come in and try to win the game. But overall, this is, again, from the three games that they played this team, this is a Barracuda team that should feel confident, without a doubt feel confident, going into this pivotal Game 5.
What do you see in their defensive structure that has changed or that is working so well right now? Because it does most definitely seem like they've really tightened things up. And obviously all these postseason games that they've played in, except for the one game number one where there are a couple empty netters, these are all tight, tight games.
For me, I think they track back very well. They're managing the puck better. They do a good job of standing up and contesting their zone. I like how the defense has done a fairly solid job, not a great job, but a fairly solid job on just getting out of the zone quickly. And you have to talk about Yaroslav Askarov. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. Even though that second goal today wasn't a great goal, the ensuing saves he made, and a lot of times we talk about the puck that goes by a guy instead of all the other ones that he stops. But when you look at the game that the Cuda play, it's a five-man situation now. And they're not just relying on one guy to get the job done. They're playing five-man defense. I like the pressure they bring. I would like to see them close off plays as quickly, a little bit quicker than they have been. But overall, their exits out of the zone are clean. Their puck management's better. And their physical play and shot blocking and sticks on pucks are much, much better.
What does the absence of Colin White mean going forward? Because he maybe hasn't been one of the stars of this team over the course of the year that's maybe getting as much sexy attention, but this is a solid veteran hockey player.
Well, that's it, right? Solid veteran, smart, plays in all situations, is leading the team, got thrust into the number one role with Andrew Podorowski out. He is a big part of this team and the success that they've had in the playoffs. And he is, he's what you need in the postseason. He's a guy in the postseason who's been there, done that, but at the NHL level. And he's a guy that you need to have on your team, because when things get like they did tonight, when things are, you're looking for some stability and some just consistency from a shift or being able to build off a shift, that's the guy you're looking for to help lead you. And so that's a big missing piece. So what do you do if you're John McCarthy? That's the big question for going into game five. If do you go with, put Van Roboys back in because you know he's going to bring, he's not going to bring any much scoring, but he's going to bring that physical, heavy type of game, maybe. Or do you think, listen, Quentin Musty played well in game two, I should say. So do we give him a shot because he needs some scoring? What, you know, you do have options here. And so it's going to be very interesting tomorrow to see what, well, first of all, if Colin can go, which I doubt he can, and see if John McCarthy tries to gamble on one of the younger guys.
What do you think's going on with the slow starts to games and periods right now at the Barracuda?
It's been that way a lot this year. But to be honest, the first two games, they had really good starts. They had really good first periods. They weren't able to score, but they had really good first periods. And then they weren't able to build on that. Now, your guess is as good as mine about why this team doesn't start when they're ready. Now, you kind of expected that today because you're back, the Colorado Eagles are back in their home confines, a very tough building to play in. They feed a lot from their fan energy, and the fans were really energetic tonight. And so you knew they were going to come out jumping. And there wasn't much of a response. The puck was bouncing all over the place. They weren't managing the puck. They didn't make good plays with the puck. They lost guys in front of the net. So overall, it wasn't a good start. But two previous games, they had good starts. So tomorrow night, in game five, it's going to be game four, it's going to be more than important to get the start. You need a good start doesn't mean you have to score. It doesn't mean you have to buzz all over the opposition, but it means you've got to make plays. You've got to pass the puck and get it tape to tape. You've got to get out of your zone quick. You've got to get a check here and there, block a shot, make a good play off the faceoff. Those are certain things that you need to do in order to get themselves, feeling good about the game, feeling good about themselves and getting the game going. But for me, the biggest problem was tonight was puck management. They couldn't make a play.
Yeah, no, it was evident all throughout the game. And that was obviously something that led to an adjustment in the lineup from game number one and game number two of this series for John McCarthy. And as a final one for you, Drew, what does Jimmy Schultz need to do? Because he is a lead by example leader and a lead by speaking up type leader. He knows how to push guys. He knows how to speak to the room. You know, he made it sound like he was vocal after game two when they went into the intermission before the overtime period. You know, he knows what it takes in these situations. He's made the deep runs for him. But, you know, the difference right now is that he doesn't have some of those other veterans like the league MVP and Podorowski around him right now to help him lead the charge and be at the vanguard when they go into this big game number four.
Yeah, but he's been doing, you know, I really like how Jimmy has been the leader this year, the captain this year. He's so calm. He's so understanding of the situation. He doesn't need to be prodded to go say something. He's another coach on the ice. He made some really good defensive plays today. He's not going to wow you with offensive flair like, say, a Luca Cagnoni does, but he is going to wow you with his stability, his calm presence on the ice, and his leadership on how he plays. In the room tonight, maybe it's tomorrow, before the game, he will talk about the things that is necessary to talk about, such as the starts of games. But also, I think one of the things you got to start talking about is, at this point, each individual, you've got to build yourself and your teammates up. You've got to be positive. You've got to worry about what you can control, nothing else. You've got to be singularly focused on every shift that you're going out there. You're going to make the difference. You're going to be on the right side of the puck. You're not going to cheat offensively to try to score a goal while giving up a defensive space. You're going to make sure you make plays early. You're going to get to the front of the net. You're going to do all those little things. The details matter in playoffs, and they especially matter in a game where you could be eliminated. So he'll talk about those little things. That's also the coaches will. He'll be that extra coach in the room. And I've said this before, Ted, to you. I say it to everybody. It can't always be about the guy behind the bench. The players have to take ownership. I think the players believe in each other. Well, I know they do. They believe in what they're doing. They believe that they can win this series. And tomorrow, they're going to have to win the game in order to prove in the end they can win the series.
Drew, you're the man. You and Nick sounded phenomenal as always. I appreciate your time, and we'll talk tomorrow, all right?
All right, buddy.
Again, that was the great Drew Remenda joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network on Barracuda Breakdown as we look back at last night's overtime 3-2 loss to Colorado that has the Eagles in a 2-1 series lead. If they win tonight, the Barracuda will be eliminated, but the Barracuda can force a Game 5 if they win, which would be happening on Sunday, about a 2 o'clock start time. Let's get into some of the post-game availabilities. Here's Pavel Regenda starting off with what he saw on the game-tying goal.
We just knew we had to put this back, you know, we worked hard, you know, we came well 2-1 the goal game, and then, you know, we work as an autistic guy, we worked pretty well, but, you know, just tried to get it in and out, and it worked out.
Can you describe, I guess, the bench, the surprise, or when, you know, when Askarov has to go out there, just how tough was that for you guys to kind of overcome?
Well, I mean, we know we're a good team, like, you know, coaches, you know, trust us, you know, they put the certain guys and, you know, they paid it off, you know, and I know it's a risk, but I mean, we did a good job, so we're happy with that, but, you know, we'll be happier if it would be different.
In the third period, before you scored there, it was really tough to generate offense against them. What were they doing to make it hard defensively?
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty, they were playing pretty good, you know, whole game. It's always hard to play here, and I mean, I don't know. We just couldn't, you know, keep it going, and they were keeping a puck going, so you know, so hard to get something. But we became strong, and we tied again, though.
What's kind of the mood or the message going into tomorrow?
Nothing. We'll be ready. We'll be ready. You know, we're not losing the series, and we're just gonna be ready.
Bob, obviously, you know, from highs and lows. How do you guys, you know, get set for tomorrow after an overtime game today? What's the recovery plan for the team, obviously, with a quick turnaround?
Oh, man. Good hydration, good sleep, you know, and they have the same, you know. They play the same as us, you know, so they're going to be tired, too. I mean, I know we're a better team, and we're a little bit ready tomorrow for a win.
How much does having that strong push, obviously not, you know, scoring in overtime hurts, but being able to fight through maybe some tired legs in the altitude, how much does that prep you for tomorrow and be able to build off that strong finish in the third period?
I mean, yeah, it's always, as I said, it's always hard to play here. You know, they're kind of a little bit more used to it. But, I mean, there's no excuse to this playoff, you know, and everybody's going to put 100% into it, you know. Doesn't matter if we had a game tonight, we play tomorrow, everybody's going to be ready and, you know, ready to play hard.
You heard it there from Pavel Regenda. He says, you know, they've got to be ready to play hard. They've got to rest. They've got to rehydrate and be ready to go. But I didn't sense any lack of confidence on his end. And I think that he speaks to a greater feeling that the Barracuda missed out on a golden opportunity to take a 2-1 series lead. This is what Gabe Carrier had to say after the loss last night when he met with the media.
Gabe, when you find out you're going into the game, obviously it's your Calder playoffs debut and it's overtime. What's going through your head in that situation?
Just trying to go in there and be ready and try to give the team a chance to win.
When you go in, I'm sure, you know, in your career and however long you've been playing goalie your whole life, there's been situations where you've gone in the middle of the game. Have you ever been in a situation like that in a playoff game at any level where you have to go in, whether it's for injury or just a surprise in an overtime high-stakes game?
It's probably one of the first times, but situation doesn't change no matter what it is or what time of the game it is. You got to be ready whenever, if anything happens.
Obviously, the team plays tomorrow. Just how much, you know, whether Askarov is available tomorrow or not, whether you're scheduled to play or not. I mean, how the opportunity to possibly play tomorrow in an elimination game for you guys, how much does that maybe excite you and to kind of prove how much growth you've had throughout the season?
Yeah, obviously, I don't know. I'll be ready if anything happens, but it is definitely exciting if do get that opportunity.
Awesome. Thanks, Gabe.
Thank you.
Gabe, okay, just in general, how tough is a situation like that, coming in cold like that?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, high stakes game, and you want to do what you can to help the team out. So, yeah, it's tough.
Yourself, what did you see on that shot there?
I think it's a bit tough. It was a odd man rush, and he kind of held it for an extra second, and then he was able to pick the far side there.
And again, for Gabe to be put in that situation, I felt terrible for him. Not that he needs me to excuse his performance or anything like that, and he's a professional. I just, you know, a guy to come in ice cold at that point in the most critical moment of the game, that's not when he's going to be at his best. If he starts and plays that game or even comes in the second or third period, that's totally different. This is sitting there on the bench, and then suddenly you've got to get up to speed. And again, I know he's professional. I just felt really, really bad for him because that's not the way a guy wants to get into a game. I know they always want to get into a game. They always want to be playing. Goalies have that mentality. I just think that you want to be at your best. You want to optimize your situation. And for him, that was just an unfortunate situation. And I do hope that he gets the chance to redeem himself. I really hope that that happens. You know, I'm not saying that I want, you know, Yaroslav Askarov to be out or injured or anything. I just think, you know, Gabe is going to want to, you know, have an opportunity to have a better performance once again. So, you know, I would hope that opportunity happens for him, but we'll have to see where it goes. We don't know, you know, what the status of Yaroslav is for tonight, so we will have to wait and see. Head coach John McCarthy spoke after the game as well. Let's hear what he had to say.
Hey, John, obviously a tough loss. I guess the big pressing question is what happened there at the end with Askey?
Just minor cramping. He'll be fine.
How tough of a situation is that from a coaching perspective? Not only just because it's your goalie coming out, but because Gabe is a young goalie and making his Calder Cup playoffs debut in overtime in a big game. What runs through your mind in that situation?
We trust Gabe. Gabe's a good goalie. He can play. You know, he's cold coming off the bench, but we trust Gabe.
What did you see on the eventual game winner against? Looked like there was maybe the third forward kind of maybe chased a hit there. I wasn't sure who it was. What did you see on the eventual game winning goal against?
Yeah, not a great track. Bad line change, odd man rush.
Other than that, what did you like about the performance? Maybe the resiliency of, you know, obviously you're going down 2-0, giving the first one early, but the team fought back and found a way to get it behind again. That seems to be the theme of the CUDA playoffs right now, find a way.
Yeah, I thought Askey was phenomenal. I thought we stuck with it. I thought we stuck with the game plan. We got 1-6-on-5. Chances in overtime there. Gave ourselves a chance to win.
Hey, J-Mac, you say that Askarov will be fine. Do you have confidence that he will be available to play tomorrow?
I do.
Another major injury is Colin White. Can you give an update on him?
No update yet. I haven't talked to them.
Okay. Do you have any sense if it was an upper or lower? Because he got hit by, looked like two people there.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't talked to the trainers yet.
Okay. For you guys in the first period, what happened there? You guys got down behind 2-0, maybe seemed a step behind in that first period.
Yeah, they're a good team. They start fast in their own building. You know, obviously went down to nothing, not the game plan, but like I said to Max, they thought we stuck with it. You know, give ourselves a chance to get back.
About the special teams, particularly in that second period, your PK really came through for you when the game could have got a bit separation could have happened in the game, and also obviously a beast hit on a power play. Just can you say the special teams in the second period?
Yeah, turned the game around. PK, Askey was really good on it, but our kill was good as well. And then, you know, Phil had a nice shot there from the flank.
And on third period, though, it seemed like the Eagles really clamped down in the middle. It was tough to generate offense until Regenda tied it at end there. What were the Eagles doing there defensively? What could you guys have done better for most of the third period?
Yeah, I thought we weren't really putting pucks in spots where you could get them back. And as a result, we didn't have a ton of OZ possession time. We weren't able to convert it to chances, but you know, we did have a couple of looks.
A lot of confidence that you guys were going to win this series. Is it kind of nice to hear that kind of, even though you guys lost the big game here, that that the confidence hasn't wavered on the team?
Yep, we believe that we can win.
You heard him. They believe that they can win. That's the most important thing you need at this point. When you are on the brink, you need to come forth with that type of mentality. if there is belief, there is opportunity, and I think this team believes, and they will give themselves an opportunity. 5:35 pregame, 6:05 go time tonight right here on the Sharks Audio Network. The Barracuda with their season on the brink. For the San Jose Barracuda and the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.